This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get all your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We will answer all of them. We're going to finish up on this military recruiting stuff. We have to move on to some other things here. Let's get to this. The new chief of staff, I talked about him briefly yesterday, CQ Brown. Of course, he's Mr. Diversity. I already played all that for you. I'm not going to bother playing it again. But I got this email. I thought it was funny. Jesse, a friend of mine, is a 13-year U.S. Army recruiter. I recently asked her if recruiting was low, as people say it is, and she immediately began ranting on how uneducated the younger generation is. She said the simple fact is they are signing up but simply can't pass the 8th grade level entrance exam. The Army is now forced to educate the kids in a controlled environment classroom in an effort to get them into uniforms. She also firmly believes if a war were to break out, a draft would undoubtedly be reinstated. Well, this is the current state of affairs, and then we're going to move on. Let's talk about the population at first. The population, as far as the brains go, the passing of the test, you have to take an ASVAB, an entrance score, to get into the military. And this is how it was in my day. It was still called the ASVAB, so I'm assuming it's the same test. And depending on how you scored on it, that would determine which jobs you qualified for. I did very well on the ASVAB. I got an 87 on it. So I qualified for really anything I wanted, but I picked infantry where they had low qualifications. Look, you could score really low and they let you go be in the infantry, all right? But anyway, so that's kind of how it works. They're having so many people now, they can't score enough to even pass and get in. Okay, let's deal with that problem here, because what we have is, I see this show right now that I'm doing, right? I see it as being extremely, it'll have longevity. I'll put it to you that way. There will be a time when this show is going to matter a lot, because I see a conflict coming, a big one coming. Anyway, so let's get all the way there. Our education system is a disaster. It's a disaster because of communists and communism. It's a disaster because the federal government got involved in it. They started throwing gobs of money at it. Big cities and small cities throw gobs of money. They all go to the administrators. Very little of it actually gets to the teachers themselves and the classrooms. The teachers themselves are educated in college and most of their lives about the greatness of Marxism, the horribleness of America. They all think they're there to teach your child to be a communist. Actually, not they all. That's not fair. There's a lot of great teachers. But overall, our education system is not focused on mathematics and science and basics. Our education system is making sure Aiden, Jaden, and Braden find out just how evil they are for being white and male and an American. When you have an education system focused on that, it can't possibly focus on education. We have a bunch of people in this country graduating from high school who are complete and utter morons. And I know this because of the sentences. I get more managers and business owners who email me in, and what they'll do is sometimes they'll forward me emails that they'll get from applicants or employees. And you're welcome to send those in, by the way. It's unbelievable. People can't write a simple sentence in this country. Our education system's a disaster. Okay, so most of our young public, they can't pass the exams to get in the military. Now let's go to physicality. Well, you can get, and oftentimes you need waivers for many things to join the military, meaning you have something that should prevent you from joining, but they'll give you a waiver and kind of agree to officially look the other way. My buddy, I was not with him, I would not have participated, but a couple of my buddies participated in a daytime robbery of a beer truck at one point in time where they liberated an unattended beer truck of some beer. This is back when we were in high school. Well, he gets slapped with, you know, it gets put on his record. He's a juvenile. You do some community service, that kind of thing. That was going to keep him out of the Marines. He had to get a waiver. They agreed to give him a waiver. Hey, we're going to agree to look the other way officially here, but that should have kept him out. Well, you can't have a history of drug use, including legal drug use. Well, here in America, in this pill society we have, it is the norm in this country to put children on pharmaceutical drugs. Oh, I can't get Aiden to sit still in class. Better drug him out of his mind. Oh, man, Jaden, he's having a lot of anxiety. Everyone talks about anxiety today. He's having a lot of anxiety. I'm not dismissing anxiety. I know anxiety is real, but oh, this teenager is having anxiety. Let's go get him some pills. You know, not working out more, not more time in the sun, not more friends, not more physical activity. Let's get him pills. A huge percentage of kids today are on pills. Only if you're on those kind of mind-altering pills, that oftentimes eliminates you from consideration for getting in the military. Oh, what's that? You've been on this ADHD medication for 5 years? Sorry, you're gone. You're out. So already we're dealing with an extremely shrunken portion of the population from which the military can choose, which leads us to the people they want. Who do they want? Well, what type of kid, obviously we're speaking in generalities here, but what type of kid is more likely to be the type of kid who has at least decent grades, passing grades, if you will, and is physically okay? Meaning he's not drugged out. His parents have him had him on a bunch of drugs and stuff like that. He hasn't been on anxiety medication for 10 years. What type of family is that kid more likely to come from? Well, you already know the answer to that question. That kid is more likely to come from a stable home. A home, there's probably two parents there, probably a mom and a dad. Even if not, it's probably a home where values are taught, manners are taught, there are standards there. Even if they're not beating up little Johnny for not getting straight A's, he still has to do his homework. You fail a test, you're grounded. That kind of basic grounded, you know, teaching people things. What I'm saying is the ideal military recruit, he comes from a stable home of patriots. Generally, that's how it works. That's not universal at all. There are a million tales of otherwise, but that's generally how it works. Stable homes, there's not an income requirement on this, I should note. They come from poor homes, middle-class homes, and rich homes, but generally, they come from stable homes of patriots. Well, this is the new head of the military.
And the last thing I would say on that is how we encourage and mentor some of those diverse candidates, because sometimes they may feel like they're not qualified and not put their name in. And we've got to actually nudge and pull and actually purposely manage to ensure that we have diverse candidates that can compete. And if they need some help in certain areas with coaching or additional training or additional opportunities, that is something we've got to continue to work on as well. So it's really about providing those opportunities and the mentorship and the nurturing to ensure that all of our service members have the opportunity to compete on a level playing field.
That family, they don't want their son to go serve under diversity guidelines. Even if that family's Black, Latino, white, that stable family of patriots, if they've blessed their son or daughter to go off to the military, it's because they talk about service, about making America better, about making the lives of their son, their daughter, better, turning you into a better person, hard work, adventure, those types of things. That stable American family, they don't want little Aiden, Jaden, or Braden going off to learn that he's not going to get that promotion because he's just too daggone white. So that brings me to where I'm going with all this. Conflict is coming. Now, I don't know that this Russia-Ukraine thing is going to end up in World War III. I don't know. Looks like it's a chance it might wrap up before that. But no matter what, conflict is coming. We know that because conflict is always coming. That's the constant state of the world. Now, if you're in a country that can't fill up the military, and you definitely can't fill up the military with the people you want it filled with, and yet you're in a country that loves war because Republicans, Democrats, military-industrial complex, they all just are in love with war.
I think what we need to do is stop providing Ukraine with support in the means that Biden has been doing so. I mean, when I traveled to Ukraine 3 months ago, what I heard was, we promised them tanks in January. They still don't have them. We promised them F-16.
Yeah, these people are dying to go to war. So what are they going to do? Well, they're going to draft them. They're going to draft their next military. You watch, they will. They're going to start a fight, and then they're going to draft them. All right, let's get to some emails before we get on to voting by mail and cheating in elections and culture war stuff. Let's talk first about your sleep, though. Because there are three things in life you never shortchange yourself on. And longtime listeners of the show know what those three things are. What are they? Anything that goes on your feet, shoes, socks, doesn't matter what it is. Your tires, buy nice tires. Your life depends on it. The family next to you, they're on the road next to you, their life depends on it. And your bedding. You spend one third of your life in bed. So take the time, spend the money, get superior bedding. But you don't have to break the bank thanks to MyPillow. On top of the MyPillow pillows and the pajamas and the mattress toppers, they have the Percal sheets. And right now, a queen set's $35 with the promo code Jesse. They're normally $89.98. Twin set's $25. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square, and use the promo code Jesse. Or call 800-845-0544.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And yeah, look, Chris, go ahead and play that thing. Honestly, think about this. This is another thing that it does play a factor in. I, as a father, I'm telling you, I look at my sons and I think about them. Are they going to join the military? Are they going to want to join the military? What am I going to say? Because they're already talking about it. They're 14 and 13. They're already discussing it. They're looking at it. They're not leaning that way, you should know, but they're talking about it. As a father, I'm going to look at that and I'm going to ask, how is this country going to treat them? How will they be treated? Will their lives be valued? And if somebody in their chain of command happens to throw away their lives, what will the repercussions be? Don't tell me this Afghanistan stuff didn't come into play.
Inside the Pentagon at all? I mean, maybe there are no charges brought up, but is anyone demoted or disciplined for what happened that day?
What we are going to do, there's not going to be individual discipline as a result of this, Willie. But what we are going to do is learn from this, and we're going to enact and improve our procedures and our processes to try to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yeah. the patriotic families, poor, middle class, and rich, they're not sending their sons and daughters to that. They're just not. They're going to move on. All right. We are going to move on. So we have a bunch of emails we have to clear out to make room for Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, which is tomorrow. Remember, email your questions in right now, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We will get to Disney and we'll get to why they love voting by mail so much. Let's get to some stuff. All right. Tortilla Drop King. What's that mean, Chris? Tortilla Drop King. What? Oh, the tortilla chip. That's right. The tortilla. That's right. I forgot about that. Anyway, I'm a Trump fan. I definitely see his flaws. Thank you for keeping it real. I had a different view of his answer on Sunday. He's talking about the abortion answer. Chris, will you pull up that Trump abortion answer real quick? We'll play it real quick when we get done with this, just so people can hear it again. While I may base my primary and general election choice on a candidate's abortion stance, I also prefer states make their own decisions rather than rely on gubernatorial or presidential mandates. I felt Trump was saying it's not up to him, and I applaud that. I also understood him to say personally he believes abortion is wrong with the blah, blah, blah exceptions, she said, a political answer. However, by his actions in attending pro-life events and clear statements made in the past, I still believe he's pro-life. Any validity to that, or am I simply naive? Go ahead, I can take it like a man, Dad Jesse. And she signs it, hardcore pro-lifer. She didn't say I could say her name. Okay, well, here's what he said again. Let's talk about it. Here's what he said.
What's going to happen is you're going to come up with a number of weeks or months that's going to make people happy, because 92% of the Democrats don't want to see abortion after a certain period of time.
If a federal ban landed on your desk, if you were reelected, would you sign it at 15?
Are you talking about a complete ban?
A ban at 15 weeks.
Well, people are starting to think of 15 weeks. That seems to be a number that people are talking about right now.
Would you sign that?
I would sit down with both sides and I'd negotiate something, and we'll end up with peace on that issue for the first time in 52 years. I'm not going to say I would or I wouldn't. I mean, DeSantis is willing to sign a 5-week and 6-week ban.
Would you support that?
I think he did is a terrible thing.
Okay, let's We're gonna have to put this through a translator here, because I'm gonna explain what you're hearing. I have all these emails from these despondent Trump fans who are pro-lifers who don't like the answer. They're not sure. Okay, listen. I'm not gonna defend the answer. The answer is horrible. That's a horrible answer, and Trump knows it. If you want his defense, Trump knows it. That's why his surrogates either were totally quiet about it or they've been kind of running defense for him for a couple days. Trump put up a big social media post about how he's the one who got Roe versus Wade overturned. He did that in response to the interview. He's had his people run into the podium. Trump's been so great on pro-life. Why? Because that was a bad answer that did not land well. Like I told you yesterday, I have a relative, one of my female relatives I was talking to on the phone. She said she was heartbroken over the answer. She was ready to cry. Like she was that devastated. I don't know. I don't think she's going to vote for him in the primary now. She was that kind of crushed. Okay, it's a bad answer. If you want me to make you feel better about it as a Trump supporter, I don't know if this will make you feel better as a Trump supporter, but let me just say this. No, he didn't say leave it to the states there, because he insulted the ban that DeSantis signed. Well, that was a state ban. Here's the truth of the matter. Donald Trump believes, whatever his personal belief system is about abortion, I don't know. But he does believe in his heart of hearts, and maybe not wrongly, but he does believe that abortion, the issue, costs us elections. He believes that overturning Roe versus Wade, even though the judges he appointed were the ones responsible for it, Donald Trump believes that overturning Roe versus Wade in abortion cost us elections during the midterms. That's what he believes. We have to go off of the things he's already publicly said. Remember, he put out that long social media post. And in fact, I'm going to grab it for you so we're not just doing all this hindsight's 2020 thing. Right after the midterms, you remember, Trump was getting a lot of heat because he hadn't spent any money really in the midterms on Republican candidates trying to get them elected. He was taking a lot of flack for that from the right. Hey, where were you? You a bet you're selfish. You kept all the money. Trump was defending himself, and he came out, and he had this to say about abortion. All right, we'll talk about this in a second. Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Is the Jesse Kelly Show. We're going to talk about Democrats and voting by mail and Disney stuff still. There's still so much to get to. A bunch of emails. I don't know if I'm talking this Trump fan off the ledge about the abortion comments or not. Lady wrote in, anti-communist listener of the show, didn't love Trump's answer on abortion, where he was talking about the exceptions and whatnot. And I already went over a couple things, but here's what Trump said after the midterms. Remember how disappointing the midterms were? You remember we thought it was going to be this huge red wave. I did too. Don't feel stupid. Remember, I had to shave in a mustache. I thought we were going to win 40 seats, and it ended up being a red dribble, a red trickle, where we barely got anything in there. Well, after that, Trump was catching all kinds of crap for not spending any of his money, any of his political money, on the races to help Republicans win. And people were yelling at him being selfish. Trump responds to criticism, all right? He's sensitive to criticism. So he went to social media right after the midterms, and this is what he said. This is a direct quote. "It wasn't my fault that Republicans didn't live up to expectations in the midterms. I was 233-20. It was the abortion issue, poorly handled by many Republicans, especially those that firmly insisted on no exceptions, even in the case of rape, incest, or the life of the mother, that lost the large number of voters. Also, the people that pushed so hard for decades against abortion got their wish from the U.S. Supreme Court and just plain disappeared, not to be seen again, plus Mitch and stupid dollars." Okay, now, it doesn't matter whether you're a Trump hater or a Trump super fan. What do you hear there? What do you hear there? From Donald Trump, what do you honestly hear there? Be honest with yourself. Donald Trump thinks pro-lifers are responsible for the bad midterms. He thinks this issue is a loser. He thinks pro-lifers, he thinks that issue will cost us the general election. And I'm not saying he's wrong about that. Maybe you think he's right about that. That's fine, but that's what he thinks. He believes the pro-life issue will cost us the general election. What's he doing now? Well, he's in this pickle in that he wants to drop the issue, punt on the issue, compromise on the issue, meet them halfway on the... That's what he wants because he believes it will be easier to win the presidency if we do that. He is caught between a rock and a hard place, though, because the vast majority of the right-wing base he needs to win the primary is pro-life to various degrees, but most of the right-wing base is extremely pro-life. In fact, traditionally, you really have to prove yourself to be very pro-life if you want to be the Republican candidate. At the very least, you can't be pro-abortion. That's a no-go. So I don't know if all this is making you feel better or feel worse. If you want me to make you feel better, you're an abortion hater and you love Trump, and that's what the lady emailed in, you're abortion hater, but you love Trump. No, he's not saying the issue should be returned to the states because he called DeSantis' bill that he signed, he called it terrible. That's not what he's saying. He's just trying to punt. He's not really saying anything. What he's saying, it's not even in that statement that I read. It's not even in the statement in the interview. What he's really saying is, I don't want to talk about this because I'm worried it's going to lose me the election. Please stop asking me. That's what he's saying. It's a long version of that. I don't know if that makes you feel better about him or makes you feel worse about him, and I don't care because what I just said is true. That's what he believes. Now, if you want to feel better about it, there's never going to be a federal abortion ban in this country. It's not something that will ever land on the president's desk ever because Republicans are a bunch of gutless losers who would never even attempt it. And constitutionally, you probably couldn't do it. So it's probably always going to be a state issue anyway. What is the president's role in the issue? The president's role on the issue of life is appoint pro-life judges and be a vocal person talking about pro-life. Be vocal about it. Okay, so Trump's going to give you one of those two. Obviously, he's not going to message it all that well vocally, but he's going to give you pro-life judges for the most part. So I guess there's that. I don't know what you want me to tell you. If that's your issue, that's not your candidate. That's bottom line. He does not believe in you. He does not. In fact, he thinks it's your fault. It's the way it is. That's it, JK. Admit you run the show by yourself. Chris and Michael are both just voices in your head, and you sit in the studio all by your tall, balding self, eating large meals, drink beer, and complain about your wife, how your wife constantly bests you, although I'm beginning to think she's made up as well. Like, really? A gymnast? You seem to have confused therapist with a national radio audience, and I think you owe us all a paycheck for sitting here listening to you vent and spew your mental illness into the world. We've had enough, and there are a lot of numbers you can call to deal with your life. You can call an actual person who may be able to wrangle in the deranged, magnificent, great band name, that is Senor Kelly. Your concerned listener, she didn't say I could say her name, so I will not. I don't know why everybody thinks Chris and Michael are made up. I don't know what everyone's problem is. Jesse, man, everyone's killing Trump today. Is this anti-Trump day? Maybe it's because it was a slower news day. Everybody's just dogpiling Trump around here. Jesse, how's Trump off the hook for this inflation? I'll never forget my jaw dropping while I was standing outside my barn burn barrel listening to him at a press conference. They announced this idea of forgivable loans to businesses across the country. I could not believe what I was hearing. I knew in that instance we were in deep trouble. What are your thoughts? He signed off on all this. What are your thoughts? Well, look, I've told you my thoughts. I told you my thoughts at the time when it was extremely unpopular. I told you my thoughts. I told you on day one, not day two. Actually, I told you before day one, the second lockdowns were even suggested. I went off about the whole thing. And then they started printing money, just printing money by the trillion, and then passing these huge bills through Congress by the trillion. And the people who were listening to the show back then, they know, look, it's not just Daddy Jesse today. I was giving it to you right between the eyes back then, too. I was blasting them all, Trump included. I'm still just dumbfounded that in response to a virus, we stopped an economy and printed money. What kind of a country does that? And now we're out there still talking about soft landing.
I've always thought that the soft landing was a plausible outcome, that there was a path, really, to a soft landing. I've thought that and I've said that since we lifted off. It's also possible that The path is narrowed and it's widened, apparently. This may be decided by factors that are outside our control at the end of the day. But I do think it's possible.
Yeah, he certainly sounds confident, doesn't he? Hey, this is that's the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, by the way. Hey, guys, listen. I think that we can have a soft landing. I mean, I'm not guaranteeing that. Maybe not. I mean, we might not. It's kind of narrow. It's kind of wide. Maybe it'll be soft. Maybe it'll be really hard. I'm not really sure. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Boy, what a vote of confidence between Jerome Powell and this guy who's in charge. This was a montage of Biden at the UN.
Simply put, the 21st century results are badly needed. We need it to move us along. That starts with the United Nations. Starts right now. We need to evolve our institutions and drive creative new partnerships. Let me be clear. Certain principles of our international system.
Let me be clear right after the whole little drunken slur. But let me be clear. Yes, thanks, Joe. Please crystallize that for me. All right, enough. Why does Disney-o, what a Disney-o? I just did it. I just did a Joe Biden. I combined Disney and CEO. Why does Disney-o, why do they want to quiet the noise in the culture wars? Now, there's a big article out in Yahoo today. They want to quiet the noise. What's going on there? Let's talk about that in just a moment. Before we talk about that, let's talk about your dirtball commie mobile company. You see, every single month we pay our mobile companies, every single month, AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon. Most of the time we give these people our credit cards and we just pay them automatically every single month. Well, I prefer not to send my money to communists every single month. What about you? My cell phone money every single month goes to Pure Talk. I don't pay Verizon to do a new Pride Month ad with my money. I pay Pure Talk. Their CEO fought for this country. They love this country so much, they hire Americans. I pay a lot less, too. My family of four, our bill got cut in half with Pure Talk. All you have to do is pick up your cell phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. This is one of the easiest ways we put our money where our morals are. There's no easier way than this. It's 10 minutes on the phone, man. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. I brought up drugs really quickly earlier. Don't do drugs. You know drugs are bad for you, right? I'm not trying to be your mom or your dad. They're bad for you. And maybe you're sitting there rolling your eyes and you're saying, Jesse, come on now. Jesse, I love black tar heroin. I'm never stopping. Jesse, it's my favorite. Okay. This is a little tidbit of an interview Ozzy Osbourne did as he sat down with Piers Morgan. And I want you to listen. And then I want you to not do any drugs.
Biden, at the moment, looking extremely old and frail. Do you think we may see Donald Trump back in the White House?
Unfortunately, yes. Because I mean, every time he gets arrested, his popularity rises.
Yeah, drugs are bad. You don't want to do those. All right. I don't know. All right. Now we're moving on to something different. The communist, he goes through the same routine. He is constantly circling you. All right, I just want you to picture you. Here you are. You're in the water, actually. This is a good analogy. You are in the water. You're in the middle of the ocean in the water. The communist, he is a shark. He is swimming around you at all times. Constantly looking for an opening. Looking for a window. Looking for anything he can bite. Anything he can destroy. That is what he does at all times. His entire existence is destruction. Until you understand that, you can't understand any of what we're seeing right now. That's what he wants to do. He believes everything around him, the world around him, is evil and wrong. And he believes he is the good guy in his quest to destroy it all and burn it all down. That's what the communist does. And he also understands this, and he understands it very well. He has always understood this. He understands that you're going to resist him. He understands you're not going to want him to burn it down. Chris, pull up that freaking professor, that Dennis Meadows audio we played from the other day. And I'm going to let it play right up to the point where Dennis Meadows, that was that psycho professor. This is going to come back to Disney. Just stay with me. This professor's talking about how he needs all these billions of people to die. And you know, I don't want it to be violent. And then at one point in time, he throws in, I don't expect everybody to be happy about it. Chris, as soon as he says that, we can cut it off. But play it again. Play it.
In one way or another, we are globally, we are so far above the population and the consumption levels, which can be supported by this planet, that I know in one way or another, it's going to come back down. So I don't hope to avoid that. I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way. Peaceful. Peace doesn't mean that everybody's happy.
Yeah,
but it
yeah.
means that conflict is
doesn't mean that everybody's happy.
Violence.
The communist understands his quest for destruction is going to be opposed by you. He understands that very well. So he bases so much of what he does on your values and deception. It's so if you had a communist battle strategy book. Boom! Someone put it right in front of you. The two main topics of the book would be deception and using their values against them. What am I talking about? One, deception. They don't want you to know. They're always lying. That's why they focus so much on messaging. And that's why, remember that abortion group we talked about last night, changing its name, I forget what it is, like the Center for Reproductive Health or something like that. That's why they put the floweriest terms on the ugliest things. That's why they call open racism, open anti-white racism, race consciousness. The worst things get the fluffiest labels. That's the deception part of it. But there's the use your values against you part of it. First, he knows in his quest to destroy everything you love, he must lie. He can't let you find out. He can't make it too obvious. He has to lie and lie and lie. He knows that. The second part is your values. Your values are peaceful. You are a human being. If you're being honest with yourself, you want to live in peace. And even me, look, everyone thinks I'm this, you know, hardcore anti-communist that just wants to fight these people all day long. I would love to just live in peace with my fellow man and not have to deal with this crap. I would love to just live in peace. You want to live in peace. You don't want to deal with a world where the next television commercial during the NFL game is controversial. You don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. He knows that. So what he does is, whenever you catch him red-handed in his destruction and object to it, he freaks out. He will intentionally cause the biggest scene in the world. And he will do this because he knows you as a good person will want that noise to stop. You will want it to quiet down. You will want a return of the peace you had beforehand. Now, granted, it's his fault. It's 1,000% his fault. He's the one who caused the problem. He's the one who's destroying. You're sitting there in the living room. He's the one with a can of lighter fluid and a pack of matches in the kitchen trying to set fire to the kitchen. You're doing nothing wrong. He's doing everything wrong. He finally gets a fire going and you look over and you say, what? Why are you lighting a fire in the kitchen? And he freaks out and says, why are you always yelling at me? This is so mean and aggressive. You're a violent person. Listen to how you raise your voice. This is what the communist does. He has specialized in it. And what he's doing in that moment is using your values against you. The way liberal Aunt Peggy does at Thanksgiving, when she starts yelling about how great an open border is, and you politely mention that it's bad for the country, and she starts screaming and yelling, and everyone's looking, and you're uncomfortable, and you just want it to stop. That's why she did it. And that's why Disney is doing what they're doing. He took over and now he said he wants to quiet the noise of the culture wars. What does that mean, though? He wants to quiet the noise in the culture wars. Many companies are putting out statements like this. They want to quiet that culture war noise. What are they saying? Let's talk about that in just a moment. Before we talk about that, let's do remind you again of this little bit from Jerome Powell. How confident does he sound to you?
I've always thought that the soft landing was a plausible outcome, that there was a path, really, to a soft landing. I've thought that and I've said that since we lifted off. It's also possible that the path has narrowed and it's widened, apparently. This may be decided by fact.
Yeah, please make sure you get some precious metals. Make sure they're in your physical possession. You need gold or silver coins. I don't care which one. Just some kind of precious metal, something that lasts. You need it in your physical possession. You need it in your IRA or your 401k as well. Get it in your retirement. These people have no idea how to give us a soft landing. We printed trillions of dollars from nothing. A hard landing is coming, and soon. Call Oxford Gold Group because they handle all this for you and they do it straightforward and laid back and well. They make it easy, and that's what I love is easy. Call 833-995-GOLD. Tell Oxford Jesse told you to call, all right? They'll take care of you, I promise. 833-995-GOLD.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.